Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Flight Risk Podcast Show. And I am your host, Robert Bruton. It is February 29th, 2024. Happy leap year. My great-grandfather was born on a leap year. So that was kind of something my mother reminded me of not long ago. So I thought that was pretty cool. And so I hope you are doing well. It is a kind of a frigid Texas morning in South Texas this morning, so we are a little chilly this morning. As always, Glitzy and Chromie are with me. My two dogs, who probably will rattle around in the studio, and you may hear them in the background. So, anyway, today's show is finding your passion and turning it into a business. So many, you know, for years and years and years, and this falls into some other things that I've written, you know, you get busy trying to make a life that you forget to have a life. And I did that for decades. I watched my father do it. I watched, you know, I've see most of my friends, they're chasing the rabbit. They're like good, they'll run the race, but all they're doing is really just chasing the rabbit around the track and never catching it. And so, although we have had some success in our lives, my father was very successful. But there was so many times when, you know, you're not there. You're not in the moment. And I miss that with a lot of that, you know. And you're chasing someone else's dream. You know, you're trying to make a life, but you're chasing someone else's dream. So I would ask you to listen in this one. And at the end, maybe sit down and ponder what would a new life look like? Now, here's what you have to do. Take "I can't" out of it, because you want to say, you know, "Well, I can't. I have a mortgage. I have a family. I need my income." Okay, well, what if you could replace it with something that you love to do that could involve everything in your life, could involve your family, could involve your peace of mind? And so take, you know, "I can't" out of it. Take the, you know, the money, time, "I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm, you know, my life is what it is," all of that shit out of your thought process, and say, okay, let's say that none of that was an issue, none of that was a problem. What would that life look like? I had to do that some years ago when I decided that I was going to go out on my own and write books. I wanted to share my story and experience with others. I wanted to do this podcast. I wanted to dabble off into filmmaking and documentary filmmaking specifically, take photos. I basically wanted to have that part of my life become my business, because it was something that when I was out doing one of those things, I felt focused and passionate, and I felt good about what I was doing. And all the stress left my body, if only for that short moment. Hey guys, sorry for that little break there. If you heard Glitzy bark just before I shut off the recording, she was trying to get my attention to do something else. So anyway, sorry for that little intro break there. But anyhow, you know, one of the things that really struck me, I needed to make this change in my life, was, you know, when I'm writing, I really feel It's hard to explain. I feel alive. I feel, you know, I get into a moment and I get into a groove, and it's really amazing how I feel, you know, and how I identify and feel. It really, really makes a huge difference. Sorry. There we go. I had to pick up the dog. I guess she wants me to hold her for a minute. So, anyhow, and see, that's another thing. I get to do something where I don't mind the dogs being part of the deal. I don't mind them interrupting, you know, the show, because, you know, this is a time, and I hope that, and I don't have anybody that complains that, you know, we make little breaks for, you know, different things. It's all part of understanding that this could be your life. You could be messing with your dogs, you could be petting them, you could, you know, your kids could be a part of your journey, your family can be a part of your journey. You know, it really just is up to you. So, do you have a passion? Do you have a hobby? Do you have something that, you know, are you, here's the thing that I think makes a good thing. There's everybody has a something that they really love to do. Say, let's say for guys, it's playing golf, or it's what am I trying to think of here? Playing golf, or making home-brewed beer, or doing something, you know, doing a guy thing, you know. And for women, maybe it's, you know, you enjoy decorating your home. You enjoy, and I'm just using ideas, guys. I'm not saying that all women are good just decorating a home. You know, maybe you have a passion to cook. Maybe you have a passion to make people's lives better in some way that is something you do, you know, for yourself. Maybe it's meditation, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's working out. And how could you turn that into a business and build a fan base around it? How could you, you know, how can you do that? Well, today we're going to talk about a few things that you could do to try and turn what you're passionate about into your dream business. So, you know, you need to sit down first, though, and identify what you're really passionate about. What makes you happy? You know, whatever that, don't worry about, is it going to make enough money? Take that out of the equation. Are people going to like it? Okay. Or there's too many people in that space. You know, people always tell me, well, you know, I love baking and I'm really good at baking, but oh my God, everybody in the world, I can't compete with Martha Stewart. I can't compete with Rachel. I can't compete with Valerie Bertinelli. You know, maybe you can't. But here's the thing I want you to remember. Each of these women that are successful in a particular niche, okay? They are good. They have a message that resonates. Well, they're famous. You know, see, you can what if yourself out of a situation. Your message could be something completely different from what theirs is. There's no other person on this earth like you. You know, everybody has some special thing that makes them unique and can be utilized to draw in new customers, a way to do stuff. You know, you could really have the next greatest, best, huge thing. You don't know until you get out there and try. And remember that you're unique. You bring a uniqueness to a crowded space that's going to help you to stand out. So, what does that look like? So, you really have to do a lot of research, find out what your competition's doing, find out what other people within that space are doing, and do you have a unique perspective that would stand you out in a crowded space? competition is a good thing. When you're the only game in town, you know, it's hard to gain customers because they don't have anything to compare you to. So, you know, being that one and only thing could have some advantage, but it can also have a lot of disadvantage. So figure out what it is that you do and how you do it, and do you have a unique way to bring that to the marketplace? So get yourself some real research under your belt and see what that looks like. And then you need to make a business plan. And here's the thing with a business plan. Really, basically, what you're doing is drawing up a blueprint for how you're going to build your business. You know, it doesn't have to be anything formal. It doesn't have to, but it does, you do have to have some semblance of a plan. Okay? You can't sit here and say, well, I'm going to ride a horse to New York from Texas. And you can't go out there and saddle your horse and get on the road and go. You know, if you don't have a plan, you're going to find places where, well, I can't go this way, can't go that way. And before you know it, you can't even get out of the state of Texas. Much less get all the way to New York without a plan. So draw up that blueprint that, you know, you don't have to do a bunch of, you know, here's the thing about projections. Projections are just crap that you pull out of your ass. You know, you need to have a definitive plan on how you're going to creatively reach your customer, how that customer is going to engage back with you, and how they're going to have an experience that they're willing to pay for. Whether that's in a physical product, whether that's in a service, or whether that's a service you provide, whether that's a book, it doesn't really matter. You have to have a clear, defined way for customers to engage in what you want them to see and be compelling enough that they say, damn, where's that buy now button? Okay? So your business plan should really get to the crux of how what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and how you're going to deliver. So, you know, I see all these people, you know, putting all this stuff. I mean, if you're going to go get funding from a bank, then you're going to have to do a bunch of other stuff. You're going to have to get it more formal, and you are going to have to pull some projections out of your patoot, you know, and figure it out. Because if you don't, if you're starting from scratch and you don't have any sales yet, then how are you going to pull financial projections if all you're doing is going, well, I hope we sell 100. Well, if you hadn't sold 100 in a month, how the hell are you going to sell 100 of whatever in a month? Are you even going to sell 100 in a month? So, you know, there's a lot to this that makes it fun. Part of the journey is figuring out how you're going to do it. And it really makes it fun to figure out the way that you're going to get there. So another thing that, and we talked about this in yesterday's show, is finding folks that you can use as a soundboard. You'll be amazed at what other people can bring to the table when you're basically not asking them for anything other than to, you know, share a story, share an idea, you know, and see where it goes. See how you can build your life around good, solid mentors around you. So these are, and you'll be amazed at how many people use you as a mentor or a sounding board for building their business as well. You know, when you give away stuff, here's the thing. Let's say you tell something. And if you tell it in a story, in a blog post or whatever, you can just as easily get an idea that someone takes and runs with as you would with somebody who you say, well, I can't share all that stuff. They might steal that idea. Well, hopefully there are good enough people that they won't, but there are assholes out there that could very easily do that. But there are assholes out there that once you get started could very easily steal your idea and run with it. So, but the here's the thing about all of the this, that being scared in that way is they're not you. They're not going to execute the same way. They may have your idea, but they're not you. They're not going to go out there and execute it the same way you would. So don't worry about it. You know? I mean, if you do have an idea that could potentially be worth millions of dollars, then yeah, you probably want to be, you know, you probably want to get some NDAs and you probably want to do some things to protect yourself. But if it's just, you know, if you're talking about, man, I tried this with my chocolate cookie recipe and, oh my God, my, you know, everybody loved it, you know, or I did this with, my accounting software that I'm building or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, as long as it's not something that could potentially change the world, you know, if it's just an everyday Joe type thing, then don't worry about it. You know, talk to people. You know, use folks as a sounding board. And if they do something stupid, remember, they're not you. So, you know, the next thing you want to do is figure out what it's going to take for you. You're going to have to do a little budgeting, you know. You're going to have to say, well, you know, what do I have in savings? What do I have? What am I willing to risk? You know, and a lot of times you're going to have to start just like I did. You're going to have to keep that 9-to-5 and you're going to have to work outside those 9-to-5 hours to achieve what you want to achieve, because until you do have a replacement for that income, you can't just go out and go, well, boss, I quit. I'm going to start a business. And, you know, if you don't have your business started, if you don't have anything going and it's all just an idea in your head, don't be stupid. You know, make sure that you can replace this income and have replaced this income or a vast majority of it, and it's consistent. That you don't have to worry about, am I going to run through my savings and run out and be, you know, jobless, savingsless, moneyless, you know, and don't do that to yourself. So, you know, secure yourself in how am I going to get there? Am I going to use any sort of funding sources that I can draw an income from? Do I have investors that I can work with? But you need to, before investors are going to come in, they're going to want to see some sales. They're going to want to say, you want me to give you, and I'm using a number, $100,000, and you haven't even sold a widget? No, I'm not interested. When you sell, you know, 10,000 widgets, come back to me and we'll talk. You know, so you're going to have to prove out some of your stuff and see what, how it does, how it's accepted in the marketplace. You can get some first round funding, you know, and you may have to give up some stuff for that, but, you know, don't go chasing funding so much that you sit there and go, well, nobody will give me money, this must be a shitty idea. Well, your shitty idea, so to speak, hasn't even seen the light of day in the marketplace because you've been chasing money instead of proving that what you have works. So prove out what you have and prove that it works. Then go get your money. Okay, so then you want to design your brand identity. This is incredibly important. So for me, I choose Flight Risk Studios. And the reason that I choose Flight Risk, because escape was what I was trying to do. I was trying to escape the life that I had. So Flight Risk resonated big with me. A phoenix rising from the ashes. If you look at all my logos, it's all my logos throughout the sub brands within my brand all have a phoenix. Everything is about rising from the ashes. So for me, that resonated strong with me, and that's how I develop and am developing and continue to develop my brand identity. You know, and so you can do the same. You just have to, and it didn't come to me right at first, actually. I can say this with some conviction that I went through a lot of different identities before I found the right one that resonated with me. And it needs to resonate with you, because the thing is it's like great musicians will tell you, they don't make music for their audience. They make music for themselves. Because what comes out of that is their complete artistic ability. You know, their artisan comes out in them in a way, because they're doing what makes them happy. And it's going to come out in a way that you're going to go, oh man, that jams, that rocks. Excuse me. So that's one of the things that you really need to pay attention to, is doing or developing something that makes sense to you. When people can see your passion about it, then you become believable. You become a better risk because people see in you your passion. So, you know, and that makes a big difference. You know, creating, you know, it seems a little, you know, when you haven't sold anything, seems a little, might be a little bit cart before the horse, but, you know, think about the colors of your brand. Think about what your brand looks like, what fonts you're going to use in delivering your message, you know, and what your visual style looks like in your business really makes a difference. Because when it's visually and artistically pleasing and it doesn't look like something that, you know, you just threw together, then it creates that visibility for you that creates an excitement about what you're offering in your industry, because you're just like, man, that looks cool. How many of you have a brand? And I'll use Harley Davidson, for example. How many guys and girls do you reckon are out there that have a Harley Davidson tattoo or have an Apple logo tattoo? Have a NASCAR tattoo. How many? There's literally hundreds of thousands of people that have tattoos of a brand. So I always tell clients and colleagues, you know, when you're building your brand, you want to build it so that somebody will want to tattoo your brand on their ass. So, you know, and you have a good laugh about it. So that's one of the things that you want to do, is really develop a brand image. And that's vitally important. So the other thing that you'll want to do is celebrate any kind of sales, celebrate feedback from customers, you know, ask for feedback from customers, ask people what they want. You know, start a Facebook page that says, start a social media page that, you know, says, hey, I'm trying to start a business. Anybody got any ideas, help? You know, reach out. You can, you know, there's a service called SCORE, SCORE, that's done by the Small Business Administration, that's retired successful business people that wanted some way to keep their hand in the game, and they'll mentor you through. And so, and those, the vast majority of those services and things are free. So if you're new to owning a business, I can tell you that there are bajillions of free and very robust services that you can utilize in order to make your business successful, in order to understand the obstacles that may get thrown in front of you. It's also like, you know, when do I actually incorporate myself, you know, like I have an LLC that's just a single person LLC, and I filed, when I file my taxes, basically like just filing, you know, my normal taxes, but with some added documents to my return. So you want to make sure that you can protect yourself, protect your assets, and those type of things. But first and foremost, make a damn sale, okay? And if it looks like it's fixing to really get some lift and get some momentum, then absolutely insulate your personal life from your professional life. That's incredibly important, because there's a lot of assholes out there that would want to sue you for no other reason than just to see if they can get you to pay them to, you know, there's all kinds of dumb shit out there, and it's sad. Because, you know, at some point in time you want to say, you know, go make your own fucking money, you know, but it's sad and it's out there, and you have to protect yourself. So make sure that, when you begin all that, that you protect yourself for sure. There's always going to be a learning curve that's going to hurt, in the sense that you're going to feel like, this is too fucking hard, I can't do it. Well, the reason that it's too hard is because you don't have enough knowledge and you don't have enough swings at the ball. You haven't hit the ball enough to know how to correct where you're hitting the ball, okay? You know, if you're hooking or slicing, you know, there's some corrections you can make. But if you don't know how to make those corrections, guess what? You're going to continue to hook and you're going to continue to slice. So you have to learn how to make the corrections so you're hitting the ball straight. And that just comes with time and knowledge and practice. So don't give up because something gets a little hard. You just need some knowledge. That's all there is to it. It's you know, once I figured out how to publish my books, and I did it a few times, and I figured out how to do it, you know, without a publisher taking all my money. And I learned from guys who are number one selling book authors on Amazon that did it all by themselves. You know, so I found mentors that were that showed me how to develop my audience, how to develop a following. And once you develop a fan base, you don't need anybody else. Why are you going to give 90% of your work to someone else? Pass. Because with Amazon, I get to keep 70% of my work. So have a nice day. And I get bonuses and I get all kinds of things, you know, when I hit certain sales levels. So, you know, and there's plenty of ways to develop an audience. And so, you know, as much as some social media, I hate it, but some social media is inevitable, because, you know, how are you going to develop an audience if you don't get out there and put yourself out there? You know, so if you're good in front of a camera, get on YouTube, Rumble. You know, there's a lot of spaces to go out. And if you are good in front of a camera or goofy and can develop a good audience around you, TikTok, you know, Instagram Reels, and people can get to know you. People can, people buy from people they know. People buy from people that they know and trust. So if you're putting out good information and good content and directing those people to go find that good or service that you're offering, you'll be amazed at what you can do, that you don't necessarily need anyone to make you, if I become, and God willing, I will, a number one selling author, and I did it all by myself, it may take a little longer, but I'm not beholding to anybody but myself. There's a lot to be said for that. And I know a lot of guys who've done it, and it's not like I'm going to be the first. There are several authors out there that I know personally that have done it and didn't need anything. In fact, they probably make a shitload, and one of them especially makes a damn sight more doing what he does, because basically sometimes his book becomes his premium for another service that he's offering. I'm going to give you my book for free, and does something else within his business and his business model that it becomes a premium. So there's a bajillion ways to make a living, and that's what I guess I'm getting down to is, there are so many ways to skin a cat that it's not even funny. So make sure that you build an audience and that you learn how to communicate effectively with that audience, and let that audience communicate some with you. Answer back when you see a comment. Answer back. Say thanks. I appreciate the, even if it's something that maybe it was a criticism. Go, you know what? Thanks for that, criticism. I think what I'm going to do is chew on this for a little bit and see, see if I can see, your point or your way, but acknowledge them in that you said, you know what, I'm going to give this some thought. Thanks. I appreciate the criticism. Sometimes it's just people being shit bags, but sometimes it could be constructive criticism. So take it as such. If you know it's somebody just being a shitty dirtbag, then block them. Screw them. Block their shit and move on with your life. Because that's the siftier side of the social media spectrum is sometimes, you see things or get things, people are just shit bags to be shit bags, and so don't fall prey to it. One of the things you can do with a first sale, for example, is maybe send them a little extra something. Maybe you send them a thank you card, especially if you have access to their information. Send them a thank you card and say, "Hey, I wanted to buy you a cup of coffee," and send them a $5 Starbucks card. And thank you for doing business with me. Offer some premium service that people go, "Damn, I wasn't even expecting that." So there are ways that you can make yourself really stand out in a crowd. When was the last time you shopped at Walmart and they actually came over and bagged your groceries? Or someone else checked you out. Or they actually said thank you at the door instead of that receipt police. They go, "Where's your receipt? I need to see your receipt." "Here's my receipt. I'm not trying to steal anything from you, asshole. Here's my receipt. I paid for everything." And I realize that these people are doing their job, so you really can't, get into, "Screw you, I'm not showing you my receipt." Just show them the damn receipt and move on with your life. But it doesn't mean you have to like it. Okay? But don't be a shithead to somebody that's just trying to do their job. So As you can see, you can really wind off into a lot of stuff here. So, find that thing that you're passionate about. Something that get, you know, that you go, man, I wish I could, Maybe it's teaching ski school. Maybe you love to ski. Maybe in the winter, you and your family and you just feel the reason that you do ski trips is because when you're skiing, you feel alive. You feel like, man, this is, oh my God, I wish I could do this every day. Why can't you? Why can't you? What does the ski industry need so that you can go work at the ski school? Or you can go be, ski patrol. Or you could just travel around skiing at different ski resorts and do a travel channel. And talk about how fun it is to ski in Aspen, how fun it is to ski in Telluride, how fun it is to ski in Heavenly, how fun it is to ski in the Swiss Alps, the French Alps, the Italian, how fun it is to ski in Chile. So, how cool would that be? So, if you love the beach, how cool would it be to do a podcast and travel channel and go around and, if you get a big enough following, eventually a lot of these hotels are going to go, if you do a favorable article about us, we'll let you stay here for free. You can critique certain things. Don't sit there and go, oh my God. I mean, unless you just got put in a shithole, I mean, there are some hotels in Las Vegas where you see, and the Rio, the Luxor, a lot of these are hotels that were once in their heyday and now are, riddled with huge problems. So I really wouldn't go there, but if you went to Vegas and you did some really cool stuff and talked about the hotels that you stayed in that you loved, and people started liking that, then it could turn into something really cool. It absolutely could. All right, we're going to take a little break. I need to get a drink of water. I will be right back. Hang on. Hey, thanks for letting us take that short break, and we are back, and we are going to finish up today's episode, and I appreciate you guys so much tuning in, and I hope that you're getting some things out of the podcast that make a difference in your life. So anyway, just to kind of recap, there's so much, I'm telling you, there is so much to be said for figuring out that, are you in a, if you figured out that you're in a shitty place, that you hate your 9 to 5, you got a boss that is okay, but, or she is okay, but, it's just not, it's just, you're making these people a lot of money but what's it really doing for you? And are you, if you're fulfilled, then God bless. If you're happy and everything is content, you got good retirements, all those kind of things, God bless. This decision's not for you, and I get that. That's fine. No worries. But if you are in a place where you're tired, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, well, this is what you do. You find your passion and you turn it into a business. Okay? And again, how am I going to make enough money selling cupcakes? How am I going to make enough money selling real estate? How am I going to make enough money writing books? How am I going to make enough money opening a ping pong ball hall? Don't worry about that in the moment. Worry about, okay, well, what would that business look like? What would that business look like? Don't worry about how you're going to get there, what you're going to do, but just don't worry about it. So there's the, you know, so when you begin to take a look at this and you say, okay, I'm going to try to figure out if there's something I do that I can make a little money at, you know? And don't freak out if the space is crowded, because the space is crowded, but there's room for you, especially if you have a unique experience you bring to your customer. And that's really what's going to set anybody apart. You know, I see so many, you know, it's like car dealers and RV dealers. It's not about the experience for them, it's about who can sell the shit the cheapest. Because you and I, as consumers, we want the cheapest deal we can get, because we're not married. You know, we may, I may, like for me, I enjoy, I drive a Chevrolet truck. That is not an endorsement, that's just a fact, okay? And I've always driven a Chevrolet truck. But, you know, I want to get the best deal that I possibly can on my Chevy truck. So the challenge to a dealership, a lot of it's about location. Okay, where am I going to have to drive to go pick up my new Chevy truck? You know, and they're not really married. They're married to the brand, they're not married to the dealer. So that's a real challenge for them, is how do I keep getting people to come back and buy from me? And that boils all the way back down to, if you've ever read the book, I would highly recommend that if you are in business, read this guy's books, because this guy, you got to remember that this guy was successful when all there was a landline phone. Okay, there was no computers, there was no laptops, there was no tablet, there was no electronic means to keep up with a customer other than to pick up the damn phone and call, read every book you can about that Joe Girard wrote, excuse me. And had a little brain fog there. So Joe Girard, he is in the Guinness Book of World Records as selling the most retail delivered cars. This does not, he didn't add a bunch of, you know, police cars to it or big, this, he sold cars to folks, and he did it in Michigan, where, here's the skinny about that, is if you're a dealer, the only people that you're selling to are GM employees who get a fixed set price. Okay, so if you're an employee from General Motors, guess what? You can walk in any dealership in the country and you can buy a GM product, and you get it for a set amount, which is a nice benefit to them. That's awesome. So, you know, but when you have, that's the only customers, basically, that's the biggest draw of customers that you have. You got to be a pretty nice dude in order to, because when you look at the numbers, the average amount of deliveries this man would have had to have made. Okay, so a great car salesman in the day was a 20 to 30 a month car person. Okay, that's about a car a day. Okay, you know, selling 20 to 30 cars a month, you were making a damn good living. Okay, that was a that and that's, you know, back some years ago, because the car business is totally different today than it was 20 years ago. So you, this guy Joe Girard, had to average 80 retail deliveries a month. 80, 80. So, and had no computer, no cell phones, just a box of index cards and a telephone. Box of organized index cards, but about, you know, and then you got to figure that he has to do all this with virtually no, so the guy had his shit together to say the very least. He was, and he's when you read about him and you start looking at him, he's an amazing gentleman. He's just a good dude. And what an amazing accomplishment, you know? to be listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as selling the most cars. And he did it over a 3 year, I think it was a 3 year deal with no, and they excluded any fleet where it would have been, some electric company came in and bought 100 trucks for their fleet. No, none of that was in it. Standard retail delivery of a car pickup. That was it. So, pretty cool guy. So, he stood out in a marketplace that was probably arguably one of the toughest in the country to work because you had nothing but GM employees to, or the vast majority of GM employees. So, especially when you're in Michigan. So those are things that he could have said, man, all I get these, GM employees, and that's, can't make no money off of them, can't do, blah 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 blah. Because let's get it, I mean, a salesman's there to make money. But the man, achieved so much that it was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So take a look at that. And remember, take the what ifs out. I keep going back to this, take the damn what ifs out. It's you can what if yourself to death. Naysayers, you're gonna have people, you're gonna have it could even be a spouse that tells you, how in the hell are you gonna do that? You're gonna ruin our family, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that. You may not even have your close, what you would hope would be your closest ally on your side. And you know why? It's not because they don't love you or they don't care about you, it's they're scared. They're absolutely scared. And when you think about it, who can blame them? If you were going to make a big decision like that, but if you were going to make a strong, compelling argument to that, and you have, this is what we're going to do. This is the risk involved as far as, I'm not going to put us in a position where the risk is so much that it does put our family in danger. No, absolutely not. So, be smart and realize that you're going to run into obstacles. And like I said, even from your closest allies, meaning family, are going to be going, what are you thinking? That's just stupid. Have you seen the market? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? There's a thousand of these people doing that. Okay, well, there can be 1,001, especially if you have a unique concept that differentiates you from the crowd. Okay? All right. So we're gonna chuck it in here, and all I can tell you is that I decided to do what I wanted to do, not what I had to do. Jobs in the past were had to. What I do now and have done for a long time is I do what I want to. Is it hard? Is it, there are some days when it gets really hard and I'm like, damn, nothing I'm putting out there is working. Nothing I'm putting out there is this. Nothing I'm putting out there is that. Then all of a sudden you look at an analytic in a Amazon, for example, and you look in overnight you sold 30 bucks or 10 bucks or 5 bucks or even 1 book. There are times when on certain things in Amazon where you only get like maybe 20 cents off of a library read out of the Kindle store. And I get as excited with that as I do making 8 or 9 bucks on a different book. And so it all adds up. You just have to realize that every time you chisel away, you're creating something. So, think about all that for a while and decide, you know, am I going to really take a strong look at this, look at it from every angle, realize that there is some risk, and if it's acceptable, an acceptable risk, then take it. You got, what's the worst that can happen? You have to go back out and get another job? You know, I pray you don't have to, but it could happen. So do the best that you can. And I promise you, you won't be sorry, because there's not a day. There are tough days that go by, but I would take my tough days over my best days. Listening to somebody tell me, you know, that if I don't pick up sales, or if I don't do this or don't do that, you know, I don't know if we can, you know, hang on to you next month, you know. And you're having a shitty month because of the market, not because you're a shitty manager, or you're a shitty salesperson, or you're a shitty anything, you know. I was a hero 60 days ago because I set a record. 2 months ago, now 2 months go by, and all of a sudden, you know, your job's in jeopardy because the market took a turn. Imagine if Nolan Ryan, when he was pitching, arguably he has records in the Major League Baseball that, quite honestly, probably will never be broken. But he had shitty games. Michael Jordan says, you know, how many times was he handed the ball to make the winning shot, and he missed more than he made? Who would argue that Michael Jordan's not, in my mind, the greatest basketball player of all time? So there you have it. Okay, kids, you know, get out there and make something of yourselves. Don't just think that, you know, that your life is what it is. You know, it doesn't have to be that way, you know. And you're scared because you simply don't have the knowledge to work through the fear. So go get the knowledge. Everything can be overcome with knowledge. I promise you that. All right. The link in our bio takes you to where you can see everything. We use Linktree, and that is not a paid endorsement. It's just a fact of a service that I use. There's plenty out there to choose from, but I like them. I've been with them a long time, and it works really pretty damn good. You know, it's a single place where you can go and find all there is to know about me, all our businesses, and with quick links to get to my books and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you want to know more, please follow that link and check it out. If you can subscribe, I appreciate it very much. Please like and subscribe to all of our stuff. We are on social media. I'm probably heaviest in X, the old Twitter. So I like it. It's a good place to be. So, anywho, I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. It's always good. And remember, finding your passion and turning it into your business is only a few steps away. So, this is Robert Bruton with Flight Risk Podcast Studios. Bye for now. We'll see you on the flip side, as they say. Bye.